Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Start whenever.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and this show is brought to you by Moda Fabrics, who you can visit at themodabakeshop.com, where they have lots of really fun patterns and show you how to use all those glorious pre-cuts that we own. You know, today I'm really excited because I have Sherry Reynolds on first, and she has made a quilt called, she's made a lot of quilts, but she's made a quilt called America Let It Shine that is an award-winning quilt that many of you have seen. It's been touring now for a while. I got to see the quilt and meet Sherry for the first time in Houston in 2012 when she first had the show there, and she won the Best of Show with it. It is just an amazing quilt, and Sherry's story about this quilt is pretty darn neat. She spent a lot of time and a lot of thought going into this quilt, and I really am excited to hear some of the behind the scenes of making it. So, Sherry, welcome to the show.
Hi, Pat. Thank you.
Now, you actually are not, like, have not been quilting forever. It's been fairly short. How long have you been quilting?
I've been quilting now for about 8 years. I've been entering shows for about the last 3.5.
So, America Let It Shine, is this sort of one of your biggest efforts to date?
Well, effort-wise, all my quilts are an effort because I'm constantly pushing myself to try new things. My first quilt that I put in a show, which was actually my quilt, 108 by 108. Effort-wise, I would definitely say America Let It Shine was the biggest effort because I knew exactly what I wanted and I wanted it to come out perfect. It did come out perfect, but it was pretty darn close to what I envisioned.
Right. You have you know, the Constitution in there, the Star-Spangled Banner, the Pledge of Allegiance, you've got all this incredible meaning and quotes and over 5,000 Swarovski crystals. It's like totally mind-blowing. And you made this on a quilt, on a machine rather. You made this quilt on a machine that is not brand spanking new. Tell me about your machine.
No, it's a 21-year-old Bernina 1001, and actually the lady that gave it to me was the same person that got me involved in quilting. About 8 years ago, she wanted to make a quilt for my daughter, and we had bunk beds, so I thought, oh, that looks like fun, and it was, geez, that it was hook, line, and sinker. I was fascinated with everything about quilting. It just, I loved it. So she moved away, and when she, as a going-away present, she said, here, I want you to have my machine, because I had a $69 Walmart special.
Oh, wow.
and I didn't grow up around quilting. I didn't, you know, I'd made a few Halloween costumes for the kids here and there, but never a quilt or anything, and she gave it to me and simply said, keep quilting. It seems that everyone sees the quilter in me but me. All I know is that I'm fascinated with quilting and the process, and it's a passion for me.
You know, you told me that you really love the drafting part. As a kid, did you like, you know, math, and did you do that kind of stuff? Or is that something?
In high school, I wanted to be an architect. So, I loved Spirograph as a kid. Mm-hmm. I loved pencil and, you know, doing things with my hands. Mm-hmm. So I had drafting in high school, and then I went to college and took a couple semesters of architectural drafting, but it moved into the CAD, the computer-aided design, and it just lost my whole desire for it. So I dropped out, and, you know, I never in my wildest dreams would have imagined that 25 years later I would dig out my drafting set and make quilts. I use a quarter-inch graph paper, and I usually start with the size I want of a quilt, mm-hmm. and then I just fill in the elements. Once that's done, it's just a matter of figuring out the measurements mm-hmm. and a logical way to sew it all together. Sometimes I end up doing it on graph paper like that. I'll end up with really goofy 16ths and 32nds, which mm-hmm. I actually do measure out to It's not that I'm saying I sew that precisely, but I figure I'm going to be a lot closer if I don't round that. If I rounded it up to a quarter inch, you know, a 16-inch difference eight times is going to throw you off a half an inch. So I'm a pretty meticulous piecer when I do that. And on a medallion quilt, once I have it on graph paper, I'll go ahead and figure out those measurements and then actually enlarge an eighth of that circle full size on a sheet of poster board. So then I have to be really, really precise because I'm using that eight times and hopefully end up with the circle.
Wow. Yeah, so as I was wondering, so do you ever at some point draft a full-size pattern piece? You have to at some point.
Yeah, and that's what the eighth of an inch of it is.
Okay.
Or the eighth when I enlarge, once I have it on graph paper, I'll take and I'll just, you know, do an eighth of the circle and I enlarge that full-size on a piece of poster board.
Oh, I get it. Oh, wow. I mean, that's just, you know, it's mind-blowing because I make pretty simple quilts, and so it's, like, incredible. You know, I was wondering, did you have, like, during the making of America Let It Shine, did you have a particular part that became sort of difficult that you had to figure out?
Well, the Mariner's Compass was difficult because I'd never done one, and I always challenged myself. So that was, and that took two tries. But also the white gathered semicircles that I wanted, I envisioned those in my head as looking like the old-fashioned bunting. And so when I had it all drafted on graph paper, I'm like, oh, that'll be simple. I'll just, you know, gather a piece of fabric, and it'll go in a semicircle. And that didn't work so well. So I was stumped. I'm like, oh, I want these to be dimensional and lay off the quilt. I ended up making giant yo-yos, and I cut them in half. And it was close to what I wanted, but that was one part of the quilt that just continued to stump me. The blue flaps that go above the red, the 13 red triangles was also unique. I needed just a little bit of blue in there, and so I used a little flap. But because I'm a meticulous piecer, I didn't want the flap to hide all those points. And so my solution was to sew a normal flap and press it back upwards over the seam. I knew I'd have to tack those down, and when I did that with my fingers, there were these cool little waves. And then so I covered each of those tack downs with crystals when I later applied those.
So are there, that's just incredible. I'm still like sitting here with my mouth like hanging open, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, did you make this in a year? Is that right? You took 1 year?
It was about 10 months. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not, I mean, you know, I try not to let my clothing interfere with the family. My job truly is to be a mom right now. So I do a lot of my sewing at night, but when I get into a quilt, it's just, I'll sew till 2 or 3 in the morning. It's just fascinating to me. And especially on America Let It Shine, I could just hardly wait to get to each new element because it was kind of scary. It was all going together so easy. I'm like, oh, what's going to go wrong?
Do you have a big design wall? Were you able to put it up so you could walk away and look at it from a distance?
Well, in my quilting room, which isn't that big. I put up pieces of flannel on the wall. So yeah, and then I would stick them up there.
And it
helps to have it up there, but it also excites you because you're like, oh, I got to get all these done so I can put this up because this is going to look cool. And it was such an exciting quilt to work on.
You know, I just love it, and it's been traveling. How many places has it traveled to? Do you even know? Are you keeping track?
It's won 30 awards, and that's in, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
She's counting on her fingers.
It's gone to about 16
fingers.
Shows, yeah. It's won 12 best of shows, and then 30 awards overall, with best machine quilting and viewer's choice and first places in there.
Yeah. So when you first made it, did you pretty much know it was going to capture people's imagination?
I didn't know. I had hoped that it would. The picture, you know, the picture in my mind was clear, and I knew what I wanted. But you know, beyond the ever present self doubts that I could actually pull it off, I just wanted to make a quilt that would basically stop people, you know, and bring tears to their eyes like it does mine and see the beauty of America.
Tell me about the sleeve, because the sleeve is pretty unique that you put on the quilt.
Well, to me, on the back of a quilt, the hanging sleeve always ends up leaving this big void across the back. Mm-hmm. And I did specifically pick out a solid backing because it's not that I think my quilting is that great, but I love, the whole back of it is just as pretty as the front.
Mm-hmm.
When you can quilt and use different colors in there. And so for the hanging sleeve, instead of just having this big blue void across the back of it, I chose to quote the words to Lee Greenwood's I'm Proud to Be an American, because yeah, that's probably one of my favorite songs, and I continually hummed it while I made this quilt.
I like that part. I liked it, that the added element that you look in the back and it's like, wow, you know, something that you don't see unless you see the back of it, and it's just a kind of a surprise. And plus, it's brilliant to not have that just big plain when you have all the beautiful quilting, to add something,
mm-hmm,
something extra. So what are you working
right
on now? Are you sewing now, Sherry?
I am. I'm working on a huge undertaking. That will be by far my biggest effort.
Oh.
It's actually, when America Let It Shine won its first Best of Show, my mom was very sick, and I ended up losing her 3 weeks later.
Aww.
But she was so proud of me because I had, she had just so proud of what I achieved from my quilting, and she knew that I had won my first Best of Show. So the quilt I'm working on now is for her, and it's going to be called Eternal Beauty, and there's over 10,000 pieces in it, and I'm slowly pulling my hair out of this.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I just can't wait to see it. And this has been so much fun to have you come on and share about your quilting. I mean, you're an inspiration, Sherry.
Well, I thank you for having me on. I want to inspire people and make them comfortable stepping beyond their comfort zone. I myself have never taken a class and am completely self-taught, but I do have a tremendous amount of determination and pride. And I do believe that we all learn through our mistakes and learn through trying. So I just want people to let their imagination and creativity guide them, because the results can be amazing. And I honestly feel I'm no better than any other quilter out there, that, you know, if I can do this, truly they can.
Well, Sherry, thanks so much. This has been wonderful. I hope to see you again soon.
Thank you.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and we're going to take a break and be right back.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration. This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. When a bird's nest of thread appears either on top or underneath your fabric, the likely culprit is your upper thread tension. If loops appear on the underside of the fabric, the upper thread tension may be too loose. If knots appear on top of the fabric, the upper tension may be too tight.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ Magazine to join the fun.
Boarding now.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I have to tell you, the first time that I saw some fabric designed by Melody Miller, I was just absolutely stopped in my tracks. I just love the styling. It's very retro. The colors are very fun, and her layouts are symmetrical. She does these collage-y type of fabrics. I actually have a piece of her fabric hanging up on my design wall, way up high where I can't reach, so I can look at it. And even my brother, who doesn't, he knows styling, but he's not anything into fabric. He saw that fabric. He's like, wow, I really like that. So it speaks to a lot of different type of people. And I just thought it'd be really fun to have Melody come on and talk about her design process. And she actually has some new things going on that she's going to share. Welcome to the show, Melody.
Thank you so much, Pat.
This is just so exciting. I mean, you have such a great style. Can you just, you know, tell me just briefly, like, how you got into fabric designing?
I quit my job doing graphic design when my son was born. He's 6 years old now. And I knew I wanted to do something on my own. And the first idea I had was to make some curtains. And so I began designing curtains, and I didn't even know how to sew, but I thought that would just come in time. And eventually I learned to sew, and one thing led to another. And then I was so interested in fabrics that I built up a portfolio and decided to shop it around Quilt Market.
Well, I imagine that you were approached very quickly because your look is so unique, and it's just wonderful. Now, you told me a few months ago you were doing some, you know, business thinking and making some decisions on some changes to how you, you know, what you were doing in business. So what went on?
Yeah, so this year I decided to just put my business hat on and really think about where I wanted my career to be in the next 5 years. And I started having some conversations with different companies. And then I had a big idea. And I realized that if I could go to a company, and the company I was speaking to at that moment was RJR, if I could go to them and bring them an entire group of designers, we could build a brand new division from the ground up and do something really phenomenal. So I approached them with that idea. I sent them an email, and they were
really
excited.
You just sent an email? Just like that? I have a big idea.
It took me 2 days to compose the email.
Oh, okay. I feel better now.
Yes. I was very nervous. But they were really excited.
They're a great company. They're a super great company. So you, what kind of presentation did you put together? You know, because this is a big thing that you proposed to them.
Yeah, I had a month to prepare, and I put together, like, for myself, a 10-page talk that I was going to give. I get a little nervous when I'm speaking just off the cuff, like when I'm making a presentation like that. So I wanted to know exactly what I was going to say, so I wrote it all down. I brought slides. I tried to work out all of the details before I went there. I knew the name of the company. I tried to have a marketing plan. I wanted to know what percentages of different substrates we were doing. I really wanted to be able to answer all of their questions. Mm-hmm. So I tried to be as prepared as possible and leave no stone unturned. So they really, when I gave the presentation, everybody was quiet for a second, and then they all just burst into applause.
Oh my gosh, how exciting for you.
It was really one of the most exciting days I think I've ever had. It was amazing.
Now, you were working with the CEO, Rick Cohan, and then, you know, the entire rest of the team to go there and do your idea. What is your idea? Can you share that now?
Yeah, no, I can. So I am bringing, it's including myself, it's five designers. It's me, Rashida Coleman-Hale, Alexia Abeg of Green Bee Patterns, who's not designed fabric before but has been waiting, Sarah Watts, and Kim Kite, who writes the blog True Up. So I had made a lot of phone calls before I gave my presentation, and I called Kim, for instance, because I wanted her advice on what she would like to see. I, you know, she has such a bird's eye view of our industry because she writes about it, and I thought she could tell me, you know, maybe what's missing or what would be exciting. I just wanted a lot of different opinions to consider. And I found out that she had been waiting, too, for an opportunity. She'd been saving up some of her favorite vintage fabrics and had always dreamed of a repro collection. And it seemed to fit right in. I looked at the five of us as a spectrum and wanted to make sure that there wasn't too much overlap, that we were all kind of covering a different place in our aesthetic. And, you know, that, as a whole, we would make a... We would have something comprehensive and cohesive. So,
well, you're actually sort of building a little mini company within the company, is what sounds like.
The company is called Cotton and Steel, and we really are considering it a separate company. We're treating it. I mean, we're using the infrastructure from RJR. Rick and I have worked so closely together to build this. I mean, we talk to each other sometimes. 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day. but we're trying to handle this. We're trying to do it. We're treating it as a separate company. We're not doing it exactly the way RJR does things because this is not RJR, but we're using their expertise and their knowledge and their experience to do this the way it really should be done. We're trying to do a really good job here.
Yeah, I think that the approach sounds really phenomenal, you know, to bring in a group that you've, you know, you've done a lot of upfront work, which is going to be super incredible. Now, you're debuting this pretty much as we speak at the trade show here in fall 2013. So what are you showing the shop owners right now, because it's going to take a little while till it rolls out.
So right now at market, we are introducing our company. We're finally telling everyone our big secret. People have been asking me for months what in the world I'm up to, and I haven't been able to say a word. So now we're out. We're letting everybody know we're here. And then in the spring, we're going to come back with our full collection and do a huge display, and everything will go on sale and start shipping next summer.
Oh, exciting, exciting. The company, tell me a little bit about the company name, Cotton Plus Steel. How did you come up with that?
Cotton and Steel. So Sarah Watts, actually Sarah, Rashida, and I all live here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And Sarah and I were having coffee one day before this big presentation. Mm-hmm. And just trying to think of what a really great name for this company could be. And we were just tossing around all kinds of words and combining them in all these ways. And when we hit on Cotton and Steel, we just both stopped dead in our tracks. And we were like, wait, I think that's it. It was like, cotton is obviously, it's the fiber of our industry. It's what our, it's the fabric that our industry is built on. Mm-hmm. And steel is this sense of strength and permanence. And it also has this kind of industrial Americana feel. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of factories and vintage American landscapes and just a lot of the kind of aesthetic that I'm really attracted to. And then this kind of strength and permanence that we want to achieve with our company.
I love that it sort of pulls in the manufacturing part, like the old sort of mills and things like that that I think of when I hear steel, you know, the buildings.
Right.
Yeah. So go ahead.
When I told my husband Cotton and Steel, he said, oh, of course, like a sewing machine. You're running cotton through a steel sewing machine.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that, you know, it seems to make sense on a lot of different levels.
Now, will you personally, because people love your personal work, Melody. I mean, it speaks to a large group of people, not just quilters, but people who sew. And like my brother, who, you know, is just loves art. It speaks to a lot of people. And so will you personally also have lines? It's a lot of work to run it and
it
have lines.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm actually the creative director and I'm also a designer. So all five of us will have our lines coming out, and we've been working more collaboratively than I think most designers and most companies are able to work. Mm-hmm. So we've bounced ideas off of each other. We've given each other a whole lot of creative direction, and we've had the ability to get together as a group several times to spend these 18-hour days just pounding out these collections and getting all the details right. Mm-hmm. So, it's kind of exciting. Like, we're each doing our own thing, but then we also have the strength of our group to rely on to make the work as strong as it can possibly be.
This is just really exciting. I can't wait to start seeing everything roll out, which I'm sure you can't either. I mean, it's a long...
It's so hard not to show the work yet, and it's killing us, but we want to wait until the right time, and everybody will get to see it at Spring Market.
They will. They will. Now tell me, we have like a minute left, tell me what the fiber content is. Will all the fabrics be the same type of cottons, or are you going to have a little bit of mix?
Oh, good. Yeah, we're going to be doing a lot of quilting cotton. Everything is printed in Japan, really high quality stuff. We're also doing the same cotton linen canvas that I have been able to do with Coca, mm-hmm. and a cotton lawn that's for garment making.
Okay. So that's great. So there's a variety, and also you're keeping that style of fabric that your customer base, your personal customer base, Melody, also really likes. They like that.
Absolutely.
A little
bit
textured.
And we have so much respect for quilters, and then we also know that so many people just make projects and clothing with our fabric. So we kind of want to be able to talk to all of those people.
Now, tell us the website for the cotton and steel.
Oh, okay. It's cottonandsteelfabrics.com.
All right. And so that should be available sometime this fall, you know, after market, after October.
Yeah, our site will be going up at the very end of October, and all our information should be available. We'll be on social media, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find us all at Cotton and Steel.
Great. And your personal website is melodymiller.net. So people can
come there
and visit you if they're not familiar with your work. Well, Melody, this is so exciting. I thank you so much for sharing, and wish you and the RJR team and your whole Cotton and Steel team an amazing, amazing show and future.
Thank you so much, Pat. It's been a pleasure.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. A feeder scrap of fabric placed at the beginning of stitching saves thread and ensures tangles will be in the scrap and not in the block.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I am very excited to have Caleb Willis here, who is the president of Island Batiks. And he is the inspiration and the driving force behind a program called Quilted in Honor. Island Batik has developed this program in order to support and raise funds for Operation Homefront. And I'm really happy to also be supporting it by doing designs and talking about the program. It's just super amazing. So Caleb has come on to tell us a little bit about Island Batik and the company and what they do, and about Quilted in Honor. So welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Pat. I'm really excited to be here.
Now, you know, Caleb, you and I have met, you know, we've talked a lot, but, you know, I thought it'd be really fun if you tell people a little bit about Island Batik, because, you know, you are fairly new to the company as the president and to quilt making.
Yeah, I am relatively new to Island Batik and the industry in general. However, I've been around it for the crafting world and the quilting world for some time.
Mm-hmm.
The quilting element runs relatively deep in my family, you know, on and off for a long time. Grandmothers and mom, my mom was a, relatively avid quilter, although
mm-hmm.
She had plenty of unfinished objects lying around at certain times. So I'm familiar with how those work. I guess the background is moderately interesting. Quilting world, quilting experience, although I was never really active, I was more of kind of down the math and science path in college. And then mm-hmm. after business school, I've worked with a couple different companies. And I knew the previous folks at Island Batik, and they had been running it for a while and were looking for some young energy to come in. And the timing worked out well, and we were able to put something together that worked, and I'm unbelievably excited and happy to be here and be part of the really kind of be in the middle of the industry. Being able to do this and see what's going on inside and out day by day,
mm-hmm.
see what new projects are being launched, see what new designers are coming out with, to really see how the industry has kind of taken the shape and responded to things like military, vets or cancer victims or, that whole give back component to the industry is just unbelievably invigorating and exciting to be part of. And I can't stress enough how much fun it's been and how excited I am to be involved with it for a long time in the future.
So do you find that the quilt community is different than the kind of companies you worked at before? Because you weren't in crafts, were you?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, and I absolutely 100% agree with how different this industry is.
Yes.
And for the better.
Mm-hmm.
I come from a kind of a finance or, science background, and while everything, works well in those industries, this industry is one of community and involvement and supporting,
mm-hmm.
and there's just kind of a camaraderie effect to it, and everyone's happy and polite and supportive and helpful, and
right.
Everyone's making art, and that's a really, really neat aspect to be part of, to be around such positive and energetic folks.
I found the same thing when I did this after 20 years of software development and went full time into, designing. It's just a whole different world. Tell me a little bit about what Island Batik makes. With the name Batik, I think we can all assume, but just tell us the different types of batiks that you produce.
Yeah, the main product that we produce are, Western designed, beautiful art pieces, handmade cotton and rayon batiks.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kind of the bread and butter of the organization. It's what we are very good at. It's what's in our DNA. We've been
mm-hmm.
doing it for so long that we've been able to really kind of hone the art about what we think and customers would like to see in both colorations and design. We're able to work with incredibly talented designers, such as yourself, to put together really inspiring and, invigorating patterns and projects that really help the end user or the consumer
mm-hmm.
help start to drive their inspiration about what they're going to create or how they're going to give back or how they're going to be involved in their community. So our handmade batiks are, the highest grade cotton, the most environmentally friendly dyes. The projects empower a number of people over in third world countries, which I'll mention later. But those elements are really kind of the core to our businesses, which is handmade batik cottons. And we do some other, rayons, and we do
mm-hmm.
have strip packs and, pre-cuts and a number of other, kind of smaller projects. But the main core of what we do are, artistic and what I consider beautiful handmade boutiques.
And you do have a little bit about that on your website, too, so that you have an about page that at islandboutique.com where you show some photos of the people, you know, making the fabric and the process, you know, sort of detailed out. That's really, really interesting because it's made so differently than regular cottons.
Yeah, it's a really interesting and process that you take the white base cloth fabric all the way to a finished good, and we have that detailed on islandboutique.com, and our blog has articles and blog posts about, you know, water treatment program that we're leading or innovating in Bali, how much we care about that. So it's not just about producing a product, but it's about making a product that's environmentally safe and sound and supporting the local community there.
Now, do you go over yourself to the plants?
I do. We have I have three manufacturing plants there, and we will likely add a fourth. Hmm. And we have a number of communities that support us at each one of the locations. And I helped direct the artistic element of what gets created and, you know, ensure that the products are being met with high quality assurance. Mm-hmm. And we have the processes and protocols in place to ensure that the product arrives here, you know, the way we intended it, right? The way that the consumers are interested in consuming it.
And you have a couple of designers, and like you mentioned, your staff actually does the artwork and then sends that to be produced. So that must be pretty exciting for them.
Yeah, it's an incredibly exciting and well thought out process. You know, it takes a long time to launch the new season, the new line that we're going to show in Houston has been in the works for probably 10 or 12 months, and so there's a lot of lead time that gets involved. There's a lot of back and forth. There's a lot of prototypes that get generated, and there's a big decision. Our staff is led by, the staff art department is led by Kathy Engel, who is an industry veteran and an incredibly important aspect to the Island Boutique team. And her handprint on the design can be seen, you know, throughout our entire product line. And we're incredibly lucky to be able to work with such artistic folks here in Island Boutique. That was one of the most exciting parts about joining, is to really kind of dive into the artistic and the coloration process that goes on in developing a boutique line.
So where are you located? Where's Island Boutique's offices?
We're located in Southern California, just right outside of San Diego. And we are able to enjoy the nice weather and the strong local source of highly talented people to draw from for our employee base. And we have an incredibly talented team and one that's been around the industry for quite a long time. So we're able to bring a lot of the expertise and the background of, I've been working in this area for so long and able to produce a quality product.
Yeah, and you have a lot of quilters in Southern California. Well, all of California has a large quilt base. Have you been going out to, like, the retail shows yourself to sort of see what the quilt shows are like?
We have. We've been to all the local ones, you know, San Diego Quilt Show, Road to California. We just got back from Des Moines. Since we are a wholesale organization, we want to go out and mainly support our customers or the retail shops that we sell to.
Right.
We want to see what's selling and how they're positioning and how we can help them in, you know, increasing their productivity or their ability to showcase our products and just get customer feedback, what they like, what they don't like, what works for them, see what new projects are out and about. It's been a great way to see and support our local stores while we're out there.
Yeah, it's really fun to be able to go to a show and see what's popular. And, you know, because it's very regional, isn't it? Because you have been traveling to shows across the country just to see what's going on.
Exactly. Yeah, it's incredibly. And you can pretty quickly see what's popular and what's not popular. Strip packs are popular now. Fat quarters were popular, you know, a little while ago, and they seem to have fallen off. So it's just it's interesting to see get a pulse of what's going on in the market.
Now, on your site, on Island Batik, you have some projects. You have like a free download page so that if people want to come and try out, some of your designs. There's an incredible one called Winter Woods. Oh, my gosh. It's like birch trees. That's gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. We wanted to have that out there for folks to, as you said, try this out, get involved, get started, and just see if they like this and see what our projects and our fabrics can do inside of a bigger project. And we're really proud of some of the projects we've done. This is new for Island Batik. We haven't done a lot of free projects or free downloads in the past. And this is a new effort for us because we wanted to start to share some of these incredible designs that people have done with our fabric with the general community so they can see what they can make and it hopefully provides some inspiration for them.
I know. It's always great. Quilters love to see the fabric made up in something. You know, it helps them visualize what it can do. And so it's always just super cool to have a place to go. So I want to tell them again before we go on break that it's islandbatik.com. So, Caleb, we'll be right back. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
Okay, we'll be right back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To maintain consistency when piecing, keep your eye on the spot where the needle enters the fabric, not the needle going up and down.
Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Baby Lock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm here with the president of Island Batik, Caleb Willis, and he is also the inspiration behind Quilted in Honor, which Island Batik has launched as a project to help the Operation Homefront project organization that's out there for our veterans. So, Caleb, when you first came to me and told me about this project, I was just blown away. It is just so amazing. Would you please just, give us sort of the synopsis of how you thought about building a project to support the Operation Homefront organization?
Yeah, absolutely. About 2 years ago, maybe a little over that, I wanted to give back. I wanted to do something more than just business. And my family has a long history in the military. Both my grandfathers are vets. My uncle was a Naval Academy grad before he was impacted, basically right out of college. And I had a number of friends that I literally grew up with that joined the service. And seeing what they were going through when they got back, they were enlisted men. They had really sacrificed a number of elements, mentally, physically, socially, financially. They were really impacted when they returned. And as you've seen on on TV and you've read in the newspaper, they had a really, really tough time readjusting to civilian life re-engaging. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the computer skills that, all the rest of us had gone off to college had received. They didn't have they had a social stigma around them. So I thought to myself, well, how can our business give back and how can we do something that's not just, here's a check and, good luck. We wanted to make sure it was meaningful. And so what we did was we researched a number of different charities. We came across Operation Homefront, and there are a number of elements about this specific charity that really stood out to us. They had an incredibly high efficiency rating, which is short for the most of the money that goes in to them as donations goes directly to the folks that need it the most. The average is, you know, somewhere in the high 70s or low 80s, and they were at about, I think last time we checked, a 94, 96% efficiency rating. So we wanted one that really gave, allowed most of the money to flow through. But beyond that, they helped the folks they needed help the most, and they helped in small but meaningful ways. So the way Operation Homefront works is enlisted men, E1 through E6, and women come back to them and say, hey, we can't afford diapers, and we can't afford our electric bill to be paid. And having very good friends in that exact same position, I saw what struggles and stresses that put on them and their families, and how humbling and kind of humiliating that was for them to even ask, right? Here they are, you know, letting us sleep at night, and then all of a sudden they come back and they can't pay their electric bill, or they, you know, their car's in the shop, or their dishwasher's broken. So I thought, well, you know what, given how rallying the quilting community is and how they'll come and for any cause, whether it's flood victims in Colorado or, you know, earthquake victims, or, you know, whatever the situation is, I said, you know, what'd be interesting is I bet if we all got together, we could do something really meaningful, better than everyone just individually writing a, you know, as some sort of small check to the organization. And it would get more visibility to the community, to the quilting world, to the folks that really wanted to give back. So we put together what we called Quilted in Honor, and we put together brochures, and we put individual personal touches on there. So all of our marketing literature has two elements of our fabric, plus my grandfather's dog tags on the top.
I think that's amazing, Caleb, that you were able to bring in your family to it as well. I just really like that. It's like an extra personal touch.
Yeah, that was, and that's been neat. It's been neat to share that story with folks. And, you know, we put this together. We went out and we got industry partners. And who are all of our partners are located on our website, islandpetite.com, and the additional website, quiltedinhonor.com. And we've partnered with enough of the celebrity designers and designers in the industry and other retail products that we thought, well, if we all got together, we could really drive something meaningful and really engage with the folks that need it the most. That was the inspiration behind this. I really thought, well, geez, what could we really do if we all got together? And I think everyone responded amazingly well and beyond my wildest dreams to have everyone involved that has been involved. So I could not be happier with the outcome. And we just launched the program last spring. We just had our first retail show with our traveling exhibit of 50-plus quilts. And the reaction has been incredible. Beyond, you know, women crying, men crying when we donate a quilt. Just the stories that have come out of this. You know, we'll call and follow up with somebody that had a question on us, and we'll miss them, but we'll get their voicemail, and their voicemail will say, "Oh, hi, you've reached Mr. or Mrs. Smith. Sorry, can't come to the phone right now. And by the way, Donnie, if this is you, we love you," which is the son that's overseas, right?
Right.
Just hearing those are really, really, you know, that's why we do it. That's why we put the program together, and that's why we want to continue this. And you know, we'll do other charitable things in the future, but this one really hit close to home for us. So,
now you actually, with Island Batik, you have developed two main colorways of fabric, which is what all of us designers were given to build quilts from, to inspire people to make, you know, quilts for the veterans, for their family, to donate, whatever. And can you tell me a little bit about the fabric lines and when they will be in the stores?
Yeah, the fabric lines are in the stores now. There are two colorways. There's the kind of traditional red, white, and blue, done in batik. So there, you know, there's stars and stripes. There are elements of, you know, the U.S. flag and every sort of permutation around that. The second colorway is a very interesting camouflage line, browns and greens and light browns and pink, you know, creams. There are about 45 SKUs in the line, all designed by Kathy. And based on the fabric line and the quilting projects, the industry partners have developed integrated retail products for the project, all of them with a percentage of retail sales donated to Operation Homefront. The retail products, as you may know, and they're all listed on islandbatik.com and quiltedinhonor.com, but it's a thread collection from Aurifil, a batting from Pellon, an embroidery mm-hmm. collection from OESD, a tote bag from CNT Publishing, and quilt patterns from PatternSpot, Landauer, quiltwoman.com, and the individual designers participate in the project. So that's really the best way that we were able to allow end users to give back, is to purchase these retail products. Everyone has a different percentage going back, but everyone is part of our overall agreement with Operation Homefront, which is going to run through the end of 2014. And we're going to try to drive as much, you know, traffic and donations back to this organization through, and that could be through donating a quilt, entering a challenge, visiting right. a traveling exhibit, entering the quilt draw, or just making a project.
Right,
one of the
You have a lot of really interesting things that are going to be going on, from the challenges to the exhibits that are going to be traveling across the country through AQS and many other venues like, the one show just went out of my head. Road to California, I think, is having it in January.
That's correct, yeah. There are a number of locations where folks can travel to see the exhibit. The website is the best resource to mm-hmm. find the venue close to you. We know that the quilts will exhibit at, for example, the Quilt Festival in Houston just here in a couple weeks. All the AQS Quilt Week shows, mm-hmm. Road to California, Sisters Quilt Show, some of the QSC Expo shows. And then there are actually four retail shops that have seen what's happening, they wanted to give back, so they've decided to host a traveling exhibit as well. So mm-hmm. there are specific locations, all identified on the Island Batik site, that will allow folks to research and find out where one of these shows might be near them.
Yeah, it's just fantastic. I'm so excited. I can't wait to see them hanging in Houston at the Quilts Inc. show, at Quilt Festival, and, well, the trade show also. They'll be already hanging because my piece will be in the traveling – one of my pieces will be in the traveling exhibit. So that's so exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. We're really proud of what's come together, and I'm blown away by how many people have rallied and supported us and really jumped in with both feet into the project.
Now, will you actually have a little space where people can visit you when there is an exhibit in a show, or will that vary by show?
It'll vary by show. Some of the shows will have a booth and a location, but at all of the shows, we will have informed the what we call the quilt angels, the ambassadors, with the appropriate information, the website, where they can get the free pattern, where they can buy the fabric.
Oh, perfect.
And most of the retail, all of the retail vendors at those traveling exhibits will have the fabric as well. So they will be able to go to a one-stop shop, go to the Island Batik website. They'll be able to find a store near them that carries the fabric and get the free pattern, make a project, and then, you know, donate it to a loved one, make it in honor of someone that is no longer mm-hmm. with us. One of the most exciting ones is a giving quilt challenge. Operation Homefront, when we were researching charities, they said, you know, one thing they didn't really know too much about the quilting industry. So when I told them a little bit about it, they said, well, geez, we end up buying like a couple thousand quilts a year because we don't know where to get them. And I said, well, why don't we just do a challenge? Why don't we give them to you? And so what they like to do is they call a giving quilt challenge. It's a quilt with, you know, little pockets on it, and they'll hang it in a public space like a bank lobby or, you know, the atrium of a big building, and people will come by and put a $25 gift card for Home Depot or a $25 gift card for Applebee's,
yeah.
and then they will take that quilt with all the gift cards, you know, for Babies R Us or, you know, some, you know, something like Target.
Mm-hmm.
They'll give that quilt to, you know, a deserving veteran that has just returned from service, right, that is reentering the civilian life. And, you know, seeing these ceremonies is really really amazing. It's, really see how powerful it is just to see what people have done to come back and give back to them.
Caleb, this has been so exciting and so wonderful to have you come on and talk about your company and about this amazing project called Quilting in Honor by Island Batik. I thank you so much for inviting me to be part of it and for coming on and sharing.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. I had a great time talking about it.
Okay. We'll have everybody come and see and learn all about it at islandbatik.com, and you can click the Quilting in Honor button and get right over there. So this is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and we will be back next week with an all-new show. So you can visit us at allpeoplequilt.com and check out my website, patsloan.com. See you next week.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.